If you're listening to this, you already know the symptoms of a urinary tract infection. That constant gotta-go feeling followed by knife-like pain when you pee or try to pee. And then the terrifying sight of urine the color of cranberry juice. The only thing more miserable than a urinary tract infection is when it happens again and again and again. So in this episode, I'm going to do a deep dive into UTI and how to prevent them, including a new vaccine in development that is potentially a game changer. I'm Dr. Lauren Stryker, a gynecologist, best-selling author, and a nationally recognized menopause expert. When it comes to menopause midlife and what comes after, I'm betting you've not gotten a lot of information from your own doctor. If women are given good information, they'll make good choices. And I'm here to give you the inside information. I first did this topic way back in season one, but I'm revisiting because even though the use of local vaginal estrogen to prevent postmenopause recurrent urinary infections has been known for years, most doctors haven't gotten the memo. And most women are not given that information and continue to needlessly suffer. Nearly 10 million people a year are diagnosed with a urinary tract infection. UTIs are now the second most common infection in the United States. Great big money maker for urgent care clinics, not so great for women. And 40% of women who get a UTI end up with a repeat infection. And then there's recurrent urinary tract infections, defined as more than 2 infections in 6 months or more than 3 infections in 1 year. In the general population, 1 in 4 women with a urinary tract infection ends up with recurrent infections. But postmenopause, that number climbs to 55%. Think about this. More than half of women who are postmenopause who get a bladder infection end up with recurrent bladder infections. Even though recurrent UTIs can happen at any age, there's a specific reason why it's more common in the postmenopause crowd. And that's what I'm going to focus on. So dividing this episode into 4 parts. First, I'm going to talk about the symptoms of UTI and how it happens in general. Then, why women, and particularly postmenopause women, have more of a tendency than men to get UTIs. Third, how to know if your gotta-go feeling and pain when you pee is from a UTI or something else. And finally, how to prevent all this from happening in the first place. So starting with the basics of what happens during a UTI. Quick anatomy reminder, the kidneys are where urine is produced. The urine then travels down the ureters to the bladder, where it hangs out until you have the urge to pee. Once you make it to the toilet, and hopefully not before you get to the toilet, the urine then travels down the urethra and exits in a small opening just above the vaginal opening. So urine travels down the urinary tract. It's supposed to be a one-way road. A urinary tract infection occurs when bacteria makes its way to the urethra and then travels up to the bladder. Once bacteria have invaded the bladder is when the symptoms kick in. It starts with a constant urge to urinate, and then when you do pee, it's really painful. And usually only small, unsatisfying amounts of urine come out. In some cases, nothing comes out despite that gotta-go feeling. It's also not unusual for the urine to be bloody. I mean, while seeing blood is terrifying, blood is just an indication that the walls of the bladder are inflamed. Keep in mind, if you put just a few drops of blood in a bowl of water, it's all going to look red. So it doesn't take much blood for the toilet bowl to look like it's filled with cranberry juice. Sometimes the blood's so minimal you can't see it, but it will show up on a urinalysis. What's not associated with the UTI is vaginal discharge, vulvar, or vaginal itching. While a change in color or odor may indicate an infection, most changes in urine that you can smell or see are caused by foods, medications, or dehydration. So if your urine smells funny and that's your only symptom, it's far more likely that you ate asparagus than that you had an infection. Women, even young women, get urinary tract infections way more than guys. And there are 2 reasons for that. 1, no matter how many showers you take and how clean you are, a lot of bacteria hangs out around the anus and surrounding skin. And the distance between the anus and the urethra is much shorter in women than in men. And 2, the female urethra is a much shorter and more traveled road than a male urethra. So if you have a penis and are listening to this, nothing I'm about to say applies to you. Your situation is completely different. While any woman is at risk thanks to that short urethra, clearly some women are more prone to recurrent UTIs than other women. Interestingly, if your mom had recurrent UTIs, or if you had a first UTI before the age of 15, you may have a genetic predisposition, which causes bacteria to stick to the walls of the urinary tract instead of getting flushed out. Intercourse is associated with recurrent urinary tract infections since sexual contact, no matter how many showers you take, how often you pee, and how well you wipe, facilitates the journey of bacteria from the rectum to the urethra. But menopause is by far the biggest risk factor when it comes to the group that's most likely to get recurrent UTIs. It's not just the vulva and vagina that change when your estrogen tank is on empty. The urinary tract is loaded with estrogen receptors, so the tissue along the urinary tract also gets dry, thin, and much more prone to infection. And it doesn't help that when there's no estrogen, vaginal lactobacilli get wiped out, allowing the bad bacteria to take up residence in the urethra and making the urinary tract even more prone to infection. These changes in the vulva, vagina, and bladder are all part of genital urinary syndrome of menopause that you've heard me talk about a million times, but it explains why a postmenopause woman is twice as likely to get recurrent urinary tract infections compared to young women. If there is a UTI, it needs to be correctly treated, and the sooner the better, since an untreated UTI can result in the bacteria continuing to travel all the way up to your kidneys. If the bacteria invade the kidneys, an uncomplicated urinary tract infection can quickly turn into pyelonephritis, which is a lot more serious. So if there's a fever and back pain, don't mess around. Call your doctor. Here's where it can get confusing. In postmenopause women, classic symptoms of a UTI are not always from a UTI. The hormonal changes that occur in the urinary tract can also be responsible for a constant gotta-go feeling, burning, and frequent urination, not just during the day, but during the night. So if hot flashes and achy joints weren't enough to keep you from getting a decent night's sleep, up to 77% of postmenopause women wake up one or more times a night to pee. So just to be clear, this lack of estrogen postmenopause increases both the risk of recurrent urinary tract infections and the risk of urinary symptoms such as urgency and discomfort with urination, even when there is no infection. But while the symptoms can be the same, the treatment is different. In the case of a urinary tract infection, antibiotics are needed to make it go away. If the symptoms occur in the urinary tract because of a lack of estrogen, repeated courses of antibiotics aren't the answer. Estrogen is the answer. But the only way to know if it's a urinary tract infection as opposed to urinary symptoms from genital urinary syndrome of menopause is to get a urine culture. But if the urine culture is negative, there's usually one of two scenarios. One is that because standard urine culture testing only picks up the most common bacteria, it may be missing less common bacteria that can cause an infection. Scenario two is that the symptoms are not from an infection, but from those hormonal changes. And the only way to know if that's the case is to do a vaginal and vulvar exam to see if genital urinary syndrome of menopause or another gynecologic condition is the problem. But in most cases, that exam never happens. Here's what does typically happen. You get UTI symptoms and are told to come in for testing. If you're lucky, there's an urgent care down the block. But if that's not the case, you have no choice but to drop everything, sit in traffic, which ordinarily is miserable, but particularly miserable when you have this horrible urgency to pee. You get there, you check in, frantically ask where the bathroom is, only to be told that, nope, you can't pee until you have been given a cup. So you sit miserably in the waiting room until your name is called, and then after answering a few questions are mercifully, finally, given a sterile cup to pee into. And it's pretty much a given that someone else will be in the bathroom. So you wait in the hall, do the pee-pee dance until you're able to finally dash in and get some relief. But not so fast. First, you have to open the cup, unwrap the cleansing wipe, and position yourself for urine collection. It should really be an Olympic event. I mean, come on. The toilet crouch with extra points for spreading the labia, using the wipe to clean the area, peeing a little bit into the toilet, and then quickly moving the cup into position to catch a midstream urine sample without, of course, letting go of your labia or peeing on the floor. This all takes place in a public bathroom while you are in pain. The degree of difficulty is high, and it's amazing anyone ever gets an uncontaminated specimen. And if there is any contamination from vaginal discharge or vulvar skin, you may end up with misleading results. So you go home and you wait for results, which can take for up to 48 hours. I know. The two tests that are commonly done are a urinalysis and a culture, but they're not the same thing. The urinalysis is an evaluation of the urine to see if there are white blood cells, red blood cells, and bacteria. It's suggestive of an infection, but it's not a definitive diagnosis. But a urinalysis can be done quickly, either on the spot or within a few hours if it gets sent to a lab. Here's the problem. The American Urological Association has stated that those on-the-spot urinalysis sticks should not be used for diagnosing UTIs, especially in women with repeat infections. Yet, that's the most common test used in urgent care centers. The culture, on the other hand, is the test which determines if bacteria are growing in the urine, and if so, what kind of bacteria, and which antibiotics will work. And urine culture takes about 48 hours. Most doctors will give you antibiotics without culture results, which is a good thing if you're in pain. But the downside to treating right away is, especially if symptoms are subtle, you may not have a UTI and you're taking antibiotics unnecessarily, or the antibiotic you're given is not the right one. Even treating without a culture at all over the phone is totally fine, only if it's a once in a blue moon infection and you're really uncomfortable. But if someone is getting recurrent infections, it's important, really important, to identify the bacteria to make sure you're treated for the right organism with the right antibiotic. It's not unusual for someone to have a bug that's resistant to commonly prescribed antibiotics, or in some cases of recurrent UTI, to have more than one bug. It's amazing how many women get treated again and again with the same antibiotic and end up with a relapse of the original infection. And that's generally the case if your symptoms recur in less than 2 weeks after you've finished your treatment. In the typical scenario, when you go to the urgent care or get a prescription over the telephone or actually make it to your clinician's office, when you get your course of antibiotics, it is the wrong treatment in up to 60% of cases. And even if you do get treated correctly, you know, then there's the next UTI and you go through the whole thing again. So after a few bouts, it's not unusual to be sent to a urologist to find out why you're having so many UTIs, followed by a bunch of tests that you may not need, including a cystoscopy. More on that later. So what are you supposed to do to get the correct diagnosis and the correct treatment? I'm going to tell you about something that's fairly new and very cool. A company called MyUTI has developed an at-home test to quickly and accurately identify if the cause of symptoms is due to a urinary tract infection, and if it is, identify what the bug is and what antibiotics it will respond to. This way, you won't take antibiotics unnecessarily, and if you need antibiotics, you'll get the right treatment right away. I mean, remember, there's that 60% of the time that women don't get the right treatment, meaning either the wrong antibiotic or given the wrong antibiotic for the wrong amount of time. Depending on the specific drug, the correct period of time to take antibiotics for an uncomplicated urinary tract infection is either 1 day, 3 days, or 5 days, not 10 days. So if you're told or think you need a stronger antibiotic for a longer length of time, it's not true. You need the right antibiotic for the right length of time. And that's the whole premise behind MyUTI. So this is how it works. If you're prone to urinary tract infections or have symptoms and aren't sure if you have an infection, you can get a just-in-case kit from MyUTI to have on hand. And then when those bladder symptoms hit, even if it's 2 a.m., even if it's a Sunday, even if the doctor's office is closed, you can just collect the urine in your own bathroom and then ship it overnight to the MyUTI lab, where PCR technology, the same technology used for rapid COVID testing, is used to identify not just E. coli, but the top 12 organisms known to cause urinary tract infections, plus a rapid analysis of which antibiotics will work. So if you have a UTI, you'll be on the right antibiotic from the get-go, which will not only cut short the misery, but also dramatically decrease the risk of a kidney infection or a relapse. If you don't have a UTI, you won't be taking an unnecessary antibiotic, which is not only expensive, but can increase the risk of yeast infections, resistant strains of bacteria, allergic reactions, and GI problems. Even more important, if a UTI is not causing your symptoms, you will know that you need to see a doctor to figure out what is causing your symptoms. Okay, so once you determine you're a member of the recurrent UTI club, what are the effective prevention strategies? The number one thing that will prevent frequent urinary tract infections is the use of a local vaginal estrogen. I cannot emphasize this enough. Even if you have no interest in having sex, even if vaginal dryness is not an issue, the urinary tract is loaded with estrogen receptors, and in most cases, just supplying estrogen will reduce or even completely eliminate recurrent infections. So using a local vaginal estrogen will do two things when it comes to bladder health. First, it's going to decrease or even eliminate recurrent urinary tract infections. But second, even if you don't have an infection, that local vaginal estrogen is going to help with the urgency, frequency, and discomfort from postmenopause tissue changes. This is one of the most underutilized and life-changing things a woman can do, and it continues to mystify me how many gynecologists, internists, family doctors, and even urologists do not automatically make this recommendation. In addition to improving the health of the tissue, estrogen assures a healthy microbiome so that the good bacteria instead of the problem bacteria are hanging around. Local vaginal estrogen comes in the form of a cream, a long-acting vaginal ring, a vaginal insert, or a vaginal tablet. And the details are back in episode 5, vaginal estrogen rings, creams, and other things. And yes, vaginal estrogen is safe for everyone, including women with breast cancer. But you wouldn't know it from reading the FDA-required package insert that practically has a skull and crossbones on it, causing you to consider if it's really worth getting breast cancer, dementia, heart disease, or stroke just to prevent UTIs or maybe have a decent orgasm. Except nothing written on that warning is true, and there's no need to update your will before you start to treat your vaginal dryness and recurrent UTIs. So here's why that label's even there. FDA class labeling requires all products containing the same ingredient to have the same warning, even if the issue's never been demonstrated in that product. For example, if you take an oral systemic estrogen, there is an increase in the risk of developing a blood clot. But that has never been a complication from using a local vaginal estrogen product. Nevertheless, the FDA requires that warning to be on every single local vaginal estrogen product. In fact, all of the warnings on local vaginal estrogen labels are based on risks associated with systemic oral estrogen. Not one single complication listed on the package insert has ever been shown to result from using vaginal estrogen. And on the contrary, there are multiple scientific studies that confirm that the use of a local vaginal estrogen doesn't increase the risk of blood clots, cancer, or dementia. I mean, really? If you put a little bit of estrogen in your vagina, the FDA is saying that you're going to get dementia? I don't think so. All right, moving on. There are other strategies in addition to using a local vaginal estrogen that will help reduce the risk. Vaginal DHEA, the trade name is Intrarosa, and oral espemifene, Espina, the two other prescription medications that treat genital urinary syndrome and menopause, they have the same benefits. Methenamine, also known as Hyprex or Urex, is an oral drug that acidifies the urine and stops the growth of bacteria in the bladder. It's not used to treat an infection, but it is useful to prevent infections, but it needs to be taken on a daily basis. A 2022 study in the British Medical Journal showed that it works as well as antibiotics to prevent recurrent infection. By the way, D-mannose, another non-antibiotic option, has not been shown to work. Another strategy that might help is to drink more water. In a 2021 study, young women with recurrent urinary tract infections increased daily fluid intake of water to 2 to 3 liters and reduced recurrence rate by 50%. Again, this doesn't work once you have a UTI. Increasing your water intake needs to be done on a regular basis to flush out sticky bacteria to prevent infection. But, and this is the big caveat, this particular study was done in young women, so I don't know if it's going to have the same benefit in postmenopause women. But drinking lots of water is good for you, so it's not a bad thing to try. If the only time you get a UTI is when you have intercourse, taking one antibiotic pill when you have sex will dramatically decrease the chance of that post-sex UTI. And taking one antibiotic pill on a regular basis won't lead to an increase in yeast infections or antibiotic resistance. Again, this strategy is primarily studied in premenopausal women. Now I'm going to run through what doesn't work. Despite what your mother, your hairdresser, another magazine, Dr. Google, TikTok, or even your actual doctor has told you, scientific studies have not shown that peeing immediately before and immediately after intercourse makes a difference. Likewise, frequent urination doesn't prevent recurrence. Wiping patterns, front to back to front, side to side, really, it makes no difference. Just wipe your anus separately if you've had a bowel movement. And drinking cranberry juice? Well, drink it if you like it, but it won't decrease infections. Ditto cranberry tablets and capsules. Probiotics? Don't bother. I mentioned before that some women end up with a cystoscopy. This is a surgical procedure in which a scope is inserted through the urethra and into the bladder to see if there's a reason for recurrent infections. But guess what? In most cases, it is completely unnecessary. There was a 2022 scientific study that enrolled 270 women who'd had documented recurrent UTIs. All 275 women in that group then had a cystoscopy. Zero women had any abnormalities to explain their recurrent UTIs. And I can pretty much guarantee that no one in that group had a vaginal exam to see if they had dryness and thinning of the tissue that would have been a big red flag for genital urinary syndrome and menopause. But suffice it to say, there was no value in having the cystoscopy, and it did not provide a reason for recurrent UTIs in one single case. If you have persistent blood in your urine when you don't have an infection, that's a different story, and a cystoscopy is appropriate. But if your only problem is recurrent UTIs, most experts agree there's no need for a cystoscopy. The other situation I want to mention is the woman who has bacteria in the urine found on a random urinalysis or culture, but isn't having any symptoms. In this case, treatment is generally not necessary. The exception is if you're pregnant or have kidney disease. But for this reason, there is a movement away from doing routine urine tests in women who have no symptoms. And if nothing you do seems to help, yeah, it is time to make an appointment to see a urologist or urogynecologist to make sure there isn't another reason for recurrent infection. But most exciting is this new vaccine to prevent recurrent urinary tract infections. So here's the deal. This is an oral vaccine that's sprayed under the tongue daily for 3 months. The clinical trial results were released in April of 2024. All the participants in the study had a history of recurrent UTIs. 100% of the people in the study who received the vaccine were UTI-free during the three-month vaccination period. Following that three-month startup, people remained infection-free for an average of almost 5 years. More than half the group avoided UTIs for 9 years. All good. Pretty amazing. But I really wish they'd included a second group in the study that did not receive the vaccine, but were just prescribed vaginal estrogen. I kind of suspect those results would have been just as good or even better, but that study never happened. While this new vaccine is exciting and very promising, it's not available yet. Vaginal estrogen is not only available, but has the side bonus of giving a nice boost to your sex life that will be enhanced not just because you won't be spending half your life running to the toilet, but that you will also be restoring vaginal lubrication and elasticity. Here's the question I get all the time. How long is it safe to use a local vaginal estrogen? This one's simple. You use it until you die. Estrogen doesn't accumulate over time. The blood level of estrogen in a woman who's been using local estrogen for 2 years is the same as in the woman who's been using it for 20 years. And if you stop using your local vaginal estrogen, it all comes back. The recurrent bladder infections, vaginal dryness, painful intercourse. So other than costs and inconvenience, there's no downside, zero, and no risk from using a local vaginal estrogen for decades. As far as I'm concerned, In a perfect world, every woman would die with her vibrator in one hand and her tube of estrogen cream in her other hand. I'm Dr. Lauren Stryker, and thank you for joining me. You will find lots more information in my Inside Information books available on Amazon.com. And follow Francie as she navigates her way through vaginal dryness, hot flashes, and pretty much every menopausal symptom you can think of.
I feel blue. She helped me see the light.